Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into this episode of the Simple Biz 360 podcast. My name is Jeff Mason. I'm your host for the next 5 minutes, and we can be found on Instagram TV, YouTube, and Rumble TV, along with 28 listening platforms. And our URL home is simplebiz360.com. You can get our book on Amazon or through the website. Our books on Kindle, Audible, and paperback. Simple Biz 360, timeless business tools. So today we're going to be expanding on last week's episode, which was entitled, you know, why we should go back to the telephone gym, right? Because our telephone skills are eroding. So today we're going to be talking about how to protect against telephone mistakes. And I've got to use, as the centerpiece for this show, a story of my own that happened not too long ago. So 35 years in business, I write a book, I do a weekly podcast, you know, I'm throwing out third-party advice, things I've learned from other people, things I've learned on my own, right? And, you know, talking on the telephone's probably pretty essential for most businesses. Well, here I am, 2023, about 10 minutes before noon, and I decide to punch out a critical conversation or a critical phone call with a customer to kind of go over some issues that they're happening with the customer's orders. And, you know, it's costing them money. It's, you know, and it's costing us a lot of work on our end. But the bottom line is all my intentions are good. I want this customer to not waste money. I want this customer to get serviced in a rapid fashion. And, you know, I just want to lay it out there. So I'm multitasking. I dial the phone. I'm punching things out, sorting this, and typing that. They answer the phone. I ask for the person. I'm still kind of doing all this thinking, hey, I got this, right? And then all of a sudden the customer comes on, and I mean, within 30 seconds, my car went off the highway. Forget the guardrails protecting my business vehicle on this high mountain road we call business transactions. I was off the highway. I was tumbling down the cliff. It didn't take, you know, more than 30 seconds for this thing to go sideways, and it got ugly. I mean, I really, I really failed in this phone call, and I created a bad experience for the customer, and the customer lashed out at me 3 times. And, you know, when I hung up, two and a half minutes had transpired, and I thought, what in the world did I just do? Did I lose a customer for good? I mean, I thought I might have. It turns out I didn't, thankfully, but, you know, I deserve to. And so I really had to dissect this. I had a couple sleepless nights, and I had to look at this. And so the ultimate landing that I agreed on in my own mind was that I failed to execute the courtesy and purpose portions of the three-letter acronym you see hanging behind me. For those of you who are listening, there's a little graphic there with an acronym CPA, and it stands for Courtesy, Purpose, Action. I had failed at setting up and teeing up the right form of courtesy, and I had failed at stating the purpose on the backside of that courteousness. I just kind of launched into this situation, kind of, you know, I more or less hit my customer from the side. They weren't expecting this. And it just was like, whoa, what is this guy doing? How did this phone call come about? And I'm feeling really bad. And, you know, in this world of experience economy, right, I created a bad experience. The customer was flustered. Customer, you know, definitely expressed angst and disdain for the way I was conducting myself, and they lashed out 3 times, and bingo, here we are 2.5 minutes later. So I thought I'd do a show on this because it's something that we're all, I'm sure, guilty of here or there. We're just not getting prepared for these critical conversations, and we aren't putting those guardrails up. And the guardrails in this situation, it's courtesy, purpose, action. We were taught it in 1985 when I worked in Manhattan. Our district manager taught it to us and said this will take the angst out of writing business letters to executives and having difficult phone conversations. And it has. I've used it since 1985 and never had an anxious moment. This was a moment I got laxed. I put my guard down, and I wasn't prepared. I didn't take the deep breath, get all my faculties together, be single-minded, be focused on this critical conversation because I took my eye off the customer. So we just kind of throw this out there to re-remind you to avoid this because we're not going to the gym that much when it comes to the phone. We're not using the phone that much. So sometimes we got to shake the dust off, you know, rub the hands together, take a deep breath, get ready for this baby. And when you make that call, make sure that you're single-minded, you're focused, and you use those guardrails of courtesy, purpose, action. And I assure you, your car will not tumble off the highway because your guardrails will be set up. So today we're going to go back to the Fillmore concerts, right? 350 of them, about 114 of these were on the West Coast in San Francisco. And we're going to dip into Al Kooper and Mike Bloomfield. Now, at 68, they got together. Al Kooper, you might know, famously was kind of a session musician, but he worked, produced the first three Lynyrd Skynyrd albums. Pretty nice production job, I'd have to say, right? And then, Mike Bloomfield was with the Paul Butterfield Band, phenomenal slide guitarist. These two guys graced the stage for two nights. We're going to dip back into one of their concerts, 1968 September, and they did a version of Green Onions. You're going to love it. Enjoy. We will see you in 168 hours.